Welcome to the H2H Human Connection Done Right Summit, bringing together forward-thinking leaders who understand that true innovation happens when people, process, and technology work in harmony. Lean into this refreshing, energizing experience designed to inspire you with a new approach to a timeless principle. Our speakers will offer fresh insights that will challenge perspectives and spark new ideas.
Hi there, I'm Jason Patel, the co-founder and CEO of OpenForge AI, which builds content and code that gets your business noticed by ChatGPT, Perplexity, and other answer engines. Today, I'm going to be talking about how to write humanized content that gets you noticed by answer engines. I'll start my talk by discussing the rise of AEO, the change from SEO to AEO, what you need to do to create really good content, technical AEO, and then, of course, how to change your workflows in order to make sure that your content and your company can get noticed by answer engines. Previously, I sold a company in education thanks to industry-leading SEO. And now with AEO on the rise, answer engine optimization, I'm going to make sure that you are prepared to do with all the knowledge necessary to do what it takes in order to be on the cutting edge of answer engine optimization. Let's get started. So first up, answer engine optimization, AEO, is not SEO, search engine optimization. What are the differences here? Well, search engine optimization, traditionally, in a nutshell, is you search something on Google or Bing, and then you get 10 blue links where you click through them or click one or two to get the information that you need. It's a massive market. In general, companies in the B2B space spend about $90 billion a year on SEO. It's a huge space because content is inevitably profitable. You might spend $500 to $1,000 creating content. What ends up happening is that over time, you'll generate thousands of dollars or even more, 5x, 10x worth of revenue from that initial investment, which is why companies at the later stage, the growth stage and beyond, love SEO. Now, answer engine optimization is SEO's cousin. It's not going to completely replace SEO, but it's going to be an offshoot of it and transform SEO into something much different. And I'm going to cover all those topics beforehand before I get into the content. So what is AEO? When you type something into Google, you'll get AIO, AI overviews. You go to ChatGPT, Perplexity, Claude, any other answer engine or AI engine out there, you'll search for an answer, and you'll get your answer probably quickly for something simple. And for a more complex use case like taxes or how to build something, how to change a tire, you might have to ask the AI, the answer engine, about how to do certain things, and you'll keep on prompting it to get more answers. Those quick responses that you get are the answers from the answer engines. It seems simple. Now, what's critical for you to know is that answer engine optimization is going to be an even bigger industry than SEO, which on its own is already a colossal industry. The reason is because AI is going to be embedded into everything. We see these tools on LinkedIn, et cetera, all the time. AI this, AI that. This company has embedded AI into their workflow or their systems. That's going to be true for search. But what's going to make this even more powerful and what's going to grow the pie, the industry size of SEO, is the fact that SEO took some time. You got to click and read. But AEO is all about getting your answers very easily, right at your fingertips, usually just after typing one question. Now, that's a scary thought for businesses, because usually you want to create content with SEO where people click through, learn about you, they subscribe to a new newsletter, or they click a button to learn more about your company. They might read some blogs. And then after they visit your blog 6 or 7 times, they might purchase from you. And that could be extremely lucrative. AEO becomes kind of dangerous for businesses because, hey, if they ask for a question and you get an answer from the answer engine and the answer engine just gives you a little citation, that reader, the user, the human being behind the question might not necessarily click through your website. And I'm going to cover that concept called zero-click search now. So, zero-click search is going to be the name of the game. If you leave with one or two tidbits, I want this to be one of them from my talk. Zero-click search essentially is when the person, the user, asks a question on the answer engine, the AI, and then they get an answer, but they don't click through your site. They don't click on any links. They get your answer, they click X, and they go about their day. Now, that can be very dangerous for businesses that rely on content, but here's where you can win. In the citations, when Perplexity gives you an answer, they'll give citations. And in those citations, that's where you'll make your money. That's where you can create a billion-dollar business. Where Perplexity or ChatGPT gives their citations, if you're cited there, and if we assume that the pie of SEO is going to grow, we're going to see more and more people click through those links, and then they'll end up trusting you over time because you've appeared on those answer engine results. Zero-click search is big now. It's not just a trend. Almost 60% of all searches end in zero clicks. So in other words, guys, that means that when a person types something into Google for regular SEO or for a chat engine, 60% of the time they get their answer and then they peace out. But this here is an enormous opportunity. If you're able to end up in those citations, you'll be able to create a massive business and create lots of trust. Businesses that do this well can create billion-dollar companies, tens of billions of dollars worth of companies, or of value to not just shareholders, but to employees and consumers as well. And that's where you're going to make your name. Now, when it comes to AI, zero-click search and getting into those citations, the name of the game is association by content. There's user-generated content, there's content you can create on your own, there's brand content, etc. So what makes good content? How do you educate the AI into knowing who you are, what your company stands for, and what your brand voice is? So first up, we're going to start with conversational-based content. Now notice, I did not say conversational tone content, conversation-based. So what is conversation-based content? It's a type of content that essentially follows a question-answer path. So in other words, again, it means that if a person asks a question, what is the natural next question that they're going to ask in order to learn more about that topic? So here is a real life example. If someone asks you, what's the largest mammal on earth? The answer is going to be the blue whale. The next question they're going to ask you is, oh, where does the blue whale live? What oceans does it reside in? You'll get the answer. And then they'll go, oh, wow, how big does the blue whale get? The next question will eventually be, what does the blue whale eat? How large are baby blue whales? Etc. You see how we started with a top line, larger funnel question at the very top, at the very beginning, where we said, where we asked, what is the largest mammal on earth? And then we drill down into the blue whale and other things about it. That's what your content should have to be like. Because when someone asks their Alexa or Google or whatever it is, a question on a much larger open-ended topic, they're going to drill down like in any conversation. And that's what I mean by conversation-based topics. So that means you need solid question-answer paths in your content. What does this mean in real life? I got you. In regular content, you have an H1, which is the title page, an H2, which is your subsections, and H3s, which are your subsections. This is well known for content people. It's very easy. So you're going to have those same things in your written content. But in order to optimize for AEO, what you want to do is have content that follows the question answer path. So your new H2s are going to be questions or phrases similar to questions that essentially discuss that question answer path. So if the topic is, what is the largest mammal on earth, or the largest mammal on earth, the ultimate guide, you'll get the blue whale. The first H2 will be, the largest mammal on earth is the blue whale, or what is the largest mammal on earth? Then the second H2 is going to be, how big does the blue whale get? Or this is how big the blue whale gets. And then you explain. And then the next H2 is going to be, what does the blue whale eat? Or this is the blue whale's diet. So you understand that question answer paths are as much about the questions and answers as they are about the logical approach, the conversational based approach to your content as you're building it out for answer engine optimization. This is critical for voice optimization, which is going to be something I'll talk about in just a few minutes. Now, keep in mind, I said conversation-based content, not conversational tone. I said that before, and I want to restate it now. The reason why that's so important is because the tone of your content should be 6th to 7th grade reading level, you know, that language style, and very easily understandable. You don't want white papers. You don't want academic language. No amount of bureaucratic academic language is going to make the AI like you anymore. So keep it simple, just like you do in SEO, and follow your brand voice and your brand style. Personally, for my company, OpenForge, we have a very non-academic, straightforward, casual, but smart style of speaking. If you're lighthearted, great. If you're casual and fun, great. If you only create content and poems, no problem at all. The whole point is that you want to follow a brand voice and keep it very simple. And with that simple language, you create those question answer pads in your H2s to make sure you're following a logical path around how you build content and go from H1 to H2, H3, H2, H3, and beyond. Now, next, we're going to go into visual search, or sorry, voice search. Visual search is next. Voice search essentially is when you speak to your Apple Home or your Alexa, which I have on my desk right here, or any other voice assistant. It's going to become much more prevalent as time goes on. Why? Because as I mentioned early on in my talk here, AI is going to get embedded into everything, which means that it's going to make information much more accessible to everyone. So if you want to ask Alexa, what's the weather outside? Fine, that's great. You can answer those one-step, very simple questions. But with voice search, you're going to be able to ask the Alexa even more complex questions with more complex question-answer paths. And the beauty of this is that it becomes a lot easier for people to research topics that, of course, are able to question-answer topics that are able to find out, they're able to help you find out what exactly you can do to find questions and answers. Now, when it comes to voice optimization, you want to ensure that you keep things as simple as possible. When you're keeping things as simple as possible, what you want to do is ensure that it matches voice optimization, the voice features. And so overall, when you're creating those question and answer paths for voice optimization, keep it simple. What would someone say when you're talking to your voice assistant, like an Alexa or an Apple Home? How would you go about answering those workflows, those question and answer paths, in a conversational approach? But again, it's not conversational tone, it's a conversational approach. Keep the language as simple as possible when you're talking about a topic. Next up is visual search. And visual brings us into multimodal. Again, for the third time, AI is going to be embedded into everything. So what that means here is that when your AI is embedded into everything, you'll be able to search for information and get information a lot easier by multimodal content, which means different modes of content in searching for something. Okay, so let's say you're asking your AI a question in your chatbot on your computer, and you want something, you want the answer based answer given to you in a much more visual format. Awesome. What that essentially means is that when you provide that answer, or when the AI provides that answer, they might give it to you in a graph or a diagram or a table. So when you create content, we started with text, make it voice search applicable, make it textual with great question answer paths. But what you also want to do is create a visual so that people can see the answers in your content. And that means that the AI will serve up text, voice, and visual content. That means you're flooding the zone. The AI can get different context points on the answers that you're providing. Why is that important? Because when you give the AI more context about your topic and your expertise, you're going to enrich it more. And that helps you get on more citations. That helps you get in front of people a lot more. And that's multimodal content: text, voice, visual. I know, it's a lot. You're probably asking, how the heck do I invest in 3 forms of content if I only have the budget for text? It's expensive enough to hire a content writer. How do I do more? Okay, here's how you do it. There are different AI tools that use very little compute in order to get really good maximum output. So our tool, OpenForge AI, creates voice and text for you. There are tools out there like Napkin.ai that create visual for you. You have to integrate these tools into your workflow yesterday in order to create humanized content. Humanized content means multimodal content. And so you're essentially flooding the zone with different forms of content that allow you to get into audience members or your customers in different formats. By doing this, you'll be everywhere. And if you're everywhere, you'll get cited. So when it comes to getting your content cited, no matter how humanized it is, it needs to be technically optimized. So what does that mean? Okay, in SEO, you have something called robots.txt. That's a file that you put at the top, the header of your website. And that helps the AI crawlers learn more about your website and et cetera. It's very common. You can do it in a file and then put it at the header of your website. A junior developer can do that for you in 30 seconds. Now, with AEO, we have LLMs.txt. Now, please don't forget this. I'm going to go over LLMs.txt, and I'm going to go over JSON-LD. Two different things, both very simple to do. All right. LLMs.txt is like robots.txt. LLMs.txt is a text file. Very easy. You put at the header of your website. It essentially decodes and translates your website so that when your website, when the AI is looking at your website, you have the ability to be translated by that AI crawler or the AI, and then it gets translated into the answer engine. Think of it as the AI speaks a language, your website speaks a close language, but LLMs.txt is the bridge that connects both the AI to your website, allowing your information, allowing your brand, your content to get disseminated better to your readers. Okay. The reason why this is important is because most of the internet is based on robots.txt, which you still should have. Robots.txt is very common. LLMs.txt is something that is up and coming. In order to generate LLMs.txt, go to ChatGPT, you can use our tool, whatever it is. It's very easy to do, but you should do it. Like I said, it's incredibly easy and it acts as that bridge between the AI and then your website, allowing the your website to be translated into the AI's language and get disseminated to more people quicker. Now, JSON-LD, J-S-O-N, not Jason, J-S-O-N-LD. The reason why JSON-LD is important, because it's a line of code that takes bits and pieces of your content and makes it easier for the AI to read. Now, for LLMs.txt and JSON-LD, I'm speaking like a layperson here. There's more code, technological, et cetera, complexity there. But ultimately, it's a line of code you put in order to make sure that the AI can read your content better. Okay. JSON-LD, you create for each and every piece of content that you have. All right. With JSON-LD, you're able to generate one for every blog post. And then that blog post, it's easier for the AI to pick that up and translate what it is and learn about it and then disseminate it into your audience. Now, generating JSON-LD is, again, very simple. You just need to do it. Like all things with AI, the base function or to do the single unit of work is actually very simple. You just got to string them and connect them together to create a really good workflow. So creating JSON-LD, when you're doing that, you add in your content into a generator, like we have one, or there's other generators out there. You get to code, and then you have your junior developer put it on your website so that it's easier for the AI to understand. Why am I boring you with these technical details about content for AI? Well, you can invest all this money into creating really understandable, humanized content for answer engines. Okay. You want to make sure now that content gets read. You want to make sure you're leveraging that content and making sure you're getting a return on your investment for all the work that you put in to get noticed by the answer engines. Now, finally, this is also known with SEO, but it's going to be true with AEO, is schema. Schema, you can look it up on Google, but it basically structures, it's structured data. It structures your content into something that is much more easily understandable by the AI. I know, it's a pain in the butt to learn all this stuff, but it's necessary if you're going to scale your content operation in the age of AI. Schema is very easy to do. If you have a standard content management system, a CMS, like an old one like WordPress, you know, a current one like Webflow, whatever it is, schema should be able to be taken care of by those content management systems. If you have a custom site, have your chief technical officer or your technical lead handle that, and then use a content management system like Sanity in order to create content, structure it properly in order to get read properly by the SEO crawlers, but also the AI crawlers as well. Again, this all comes down to making sure that the investment you put into your content is just as good as the investment that you put into your technical stuff, so they both get leveraged. You don't want to just take a shotgun approach with your content where you create a whole bunch of it, put a bunch of time and money into it, and then of course it goes nowhere. I want to make sure that when you create your content, it gets read by the AI crawlers. So now I'm going to finish up with my talk, and I'm going to give you some action steps to make sure that you can properly, easily, affordably, and in a proper business person-like way, leverage your content properly and redo your workflows to make sure you're optimizing for the age of answer engine optimization. So first up, do an audit. A content audit is not something you can do, not something you need to do by hand. You can do it electronically or digitally, excuse me, through a tool like Ahrefs, Semrush, WeDoIt. The whole point is that you can do it from a lot of different tools. When you do a site audit, you'll get something called a site map. You'll learn and see all of the different tools, that all of the different pages that you have on your website. When that happens, go to those pages and look at exactly how does your content appear on SEO and how does your content appear potentially on AEO. If you don't have LLMs.txt or JSON-LD involved for any of that stuff, for any of those pages, you want to make sure you're doing that and optimizing correctly. Why? Because if you're not doing your optimization correctly throughout your site, and if you have a large site, you're going to lose your investment. Or worse, the investment that you made on pieces 2-3 years ago, you're going to lose those pages and you're not going to generate money from them, which again is a total waste of money. Don't let your content get caught in the black hole of AI, et cetera. The second thing I want you to do is do a brand voice matrix, or just do a brand voice audit. What does your brand stand for? What kind of voice, writing voice, do you have? How do you get in front of your customers? And how do your customers know you? The reason why this is important is because the AI is going to judge your company based on your brand. And then they're going to personally match your brand to potential buyers that want to use your product or that fit your product's persona. Now, with the brand voice, you want to make sure that you're clear and direct and don't have it be different things. So if your YouTube channel is full of fun, casual, light information, try to have some of the same on your blog and vice versa. And finally, your workflows. It's overwhelming as hell, I understand. In order to add and integrate new tools into your old workflow. So for example, a visual tool like Napkin, which helps you create graphs and tables, replaced some parts of Canva for me. Now I use Canva for pitch decks and sales memos and whatnot, but no longer I use it for tables, etc. And so you wanna end up using tools that you really like, that are easy to use, and that when you use one, you find immediate value. The age of AI for you, a buyer, you want to make sure that the tools you use for your workflow in order to find other customers provide value as soon as possible, that they're very easy to use. Because eventually, while you're building content, you're going to have to scale and then train junior members of your team in order to figure it out on how to make the tools. Now, ultimately, and I'll end here, answer engine optimization is incredibly important for the future of SEO and the future of your content marketing operation. You need to get on that now. It's urgent. I say that because while AEO is still relatively small compared to SEO, it will ultimately take over. Just like with all things tech, it's little by little and then all at once. You want to make sure you're optimizing correctly. Now, ultimately, I'm here to help you. And I don't want you to be intimidated by answer engine optimization. A lot of it is the same as SEO, with different wrinkles and different fabrics and different colors and splashes involved to it. The whole point is that if you take SEO and you add your splash of AEO to it, based on what I told you here, you'll have a properly scalable AEO operation. Thank you very much. I'm Jason Patel. It's wonderful to meet all of you. Let me know if you have questions.
Thank you for joining us in today's forward-thinking session of Human Connection Done Right. As we transition to our next expert speaker, remember that together we are redefining the future. To stay engaged and informed, visit revenue-bydesign.com, where together we will be deliberate, be intentional, and be successful.